Tina, bring me the axe.
Jesus Christ. That should be the intro.
That's my favorite moment.
That was iconic. I remember when I saw that, I was like, man, I wish there's just like a clip of that. Whenever I looked for gifts of Mommy Dearest, that was one of the first ones. That were just going, Jesus Christ.
She's like an 8-year-old girl. Jesus Christ.
She's just been beaten with a hanger.
Yeah.
She's been yelled at.
That was
She's
some
covered
amazing,
in soap.
Amazing acting.
She got her ass beat with soap.
She got a Razzie for that.
The
yeah,
little
she
girl.
Did.
Do you
and
see
I
that? That's
I
my
didn't think she deserved it. Sorry, Jacob.
Joan Crawford got one too, didn't she?
Well, Joan Crawford did.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. See, that's how fucking good Faye Dunaway was.
Faye Dunaway, I will say, regardless of her overacting histrionics, she really did disappear physically into the role. Like, it was hard to see Faye Dunaway in any way when I'm watching.
No, yeah, I agree. 100%.
Yeah, and I think Jacob was saying that Faye Dunaway got a Razzie, right, Jacob?
Yeah, I think so. I think she got Worst Actress. And
she was embarrassed by it.
Fucked up because she disappeared into this role. That is like, I don't know, you know, because like, I don't know much about the real Joan Crawford. I watched a little bit of YouTube stuff though, and she was, but this woman, like, give her a fucking, I was like, and see, I didn't know about the Razzie. I was watching this and I didn't know anything about this movie. And I'm like watching this and I'm like, she won an Oscar for this. She had to have.
It was a piece of TV movie.
Oh, dude. And then I look and it's like she won a Razzie for this. And I'm like, fuck you, dude. Razzies are for like Catwoman, you know, like for Halle Berry. Like that was deserved. But this is Oscar worthy, if you ask me. I saw a completely different movie than any of these Razzie people saw.
Yeah. So I was like, I had the same thought, like she might have won an award for this. But it wasn't the same tone. I was like, they probably fucking gave her an award for this. Like,
acting.
Yeah, she did certain things. Like you said, she totally did disappear into this character. And if there is a role that like epitomizes the word commitment, it is Faye Dunaway as Joan Crawford, because she lost her goddamn mind doing this movie.
Well, yeah. And she even said that like her biggest complaint. Real quick, sorry, I have to walk that back. I totally made a mistake. I can't handle people thinking I'm stupid. It was not a made-for-TV movie. I was confusing this with Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, which this movie reminded me of for a minute, and I looked up on Wikipedia. Got him confused. Anyway, but yeah, no, Faye Dunaway said about it that she wished that she had worked with a director who was more experienced enough to know when to rein their actors in. Because she was like, yeah, she went for it, but she needed a director to like tell her when to like not go so far.
Oh,
and
bursting blood
kind of shows the what it kind of helps you better understand, I guess, the role of a director and like making a film what it is.
He was like, go, and she just went.
She went.
Like, what was she going through? Like, to pull, like, I can't even imagine pretending to be this mad at somebody.
Yeah, especially a little kid. You know, like, because when working with a child, you know, you have that, hey, it's like, even the guys that, like, play Michael Myers or Jason, like, they take the mask off in between takes, and they'll go to the little kid and be like, hey, it's just me, I'm not Michael Myers, and we're just playing, okay?
The kid's smoking a cigarette. I know, asshole.
I've done, this is my fifth fucking movie. Shut up.
It's a 65-year-old man.
It's baby her.
but no, hey, I really... I guess this is my first main point about this, that I thought this movie was really well done. The casting in this movie, not only Faye Dunaway, but I've watched videos of the daughter, and the not only the grown woman they got to play her was perfect, but the little girl they got to play her was perfect. And it's
really
crazy.
Did look a lot like her.
Both of those girls look exactly the same.
That? Okay, that's the. I hope you guys enjoyed Mommy Dear.
For anybody just listening to the podcast, Jacob said exactly the same. Muted his mic, turned and screamed at something in his house, and then looked at us like he was going to finish his. That is the ultimate multitasking. We didn't have to bring it up. It could have been more seamless than that. I get it, but I'm
my life.
It was impressive. We'll get to the anime, I promise.
He was screaming at his kid. He was screaming at his kid. No! Wire!
That's what was happening. I was like, did you clean the fucking floor?
Does this look clean to you?
I'm not mad at you. I am mad at the dirt.
At first, I thought that they cast the blonde little girl just because she's adorable. She's kind of homely. She looks like a super young Amy Schumer almost.
But
I thought they were like, oh, they just found a kid that we would really sympathize with getting the shit beat out of her or whatever. And then I looked up what Christina Crawford looked like. And it was a damn good casting. And I thought that girl, that little girl, she wasn't like, you know, the little girl from True Grit. The new True Grit that like knocked that shit out of the park. She wasn't like that level, but she didn't. I don't think she deserved a Razzie. I think the Razzies just wanted to fucking hate on this movie like crazy.
Critics hated this movie because Joan Crawford was beloved, I believe.
That was the real issue.
Politics.
Oh, how dare they?
Yeah, she's Hollywood royalty. This is bullshit.
You know what I don't know
how much of that affects the Razzies though, because listen, let me be fair to the Razzies. This has some stilted, awkward, campy ass dialogue. Like there were some line readings where I laughed out loud and was glad to be laughing for once.
Same here.
I thought it was a little unfair that she would get a Razzie. Because she's a kid, but Faye Dunaway, you know, I see both sides, you know. but it's also campily hilarious at times.
Yeah.
And also, did anybody else notice the man in the blonde wig whenever she threw her teenage daughter into the table and started to strangle her?
Yeah. And then
it's a running gag.
They cut. So it's a man in a blonde wig getting strangled. And then they cut to the back view of Faye Dunaway on top of the girl. And they're like struggling and they're doing this. And from behind, it's clearly a man's shoulders.
Oh, man. I guess that upskirt make me feel a little bit weirder now. How I felt about it, you know.
Jacob just saw the upskirt. Me and Ben are like, are those men?
There were a couple weird upskirts in this movie with that daughter. Like when she was making out with the boy.
What?
Like upskirt? No, seriously. Like when I'm saying like panty shots when she was making out with that boy. Like when you're making a movie,
I guess so. If
you can choose, you know, you can choose whether if there's a blatant panty shot happening, everybody knows it's happening. That's what I'm saying, and it just makes me wonder, you know, like why'd you do that? Why is Mommy Dearest trying to, you know, maybe turn people on or whatever?
And she was supposed to be like 15 in that scene.
Was that
right?
I don't think it was meant to. I think it was just meant to show what teenagers do when they're making out.
Sure, but they should. They could have closed.
I don't think you. The audience is responsible of whether or not they're turned on by.
Look,
teenagers.
I got issues. Okay,
you know, I think that's not.
These are Jacob's confessions.
I mean, like seriously, like when they're fighting on the ground. That's all I'm looking at. I'm like, oh, you can see your underwear.
Dude, you should like watch old 80s soap operas, man. You can get hard as a rock.
See, I didn't
all
notice.
Sorts of crazy fighting.
Have you guys watched Passions, bro? Fucking Panty Central.
Guiding Light.
See, I didn't notice the choking scene part because, like I said, I was with, like Ben looking at how obvious it was. Too fucking
he saw the dong. You saw the dong in the pants.
But the makeout scene, yes, that was like, because I mean, the shot is right on the girl, like that part of the girl. And so that was intentional. But like I said, that is it's supposed to be a 15-year-old girl. I don't know if it's a 15-year-old actress. I did the math because she gets. Joan Crawford gets married like the year after that, and she got married when that girl was 16. So
there you go.
That's how I did that.
I don't think it's right. I didn't need to see that 15-year-old girl's underwear.
So did you guys
have to wear burkas so they don't entice the desires of men?
No, dude, that's the thing. When I'm making a movie, just imagine we've shot the news. What if I'm just like now spread your legs a little there. Yeah, I know we're just shooting this thing that we. I know it's not necessary that I show your vagina in this part, but let's go ahead and do it.
Man, well, you're talking about
it was a man though.
The news and a movie.
Yeah.
Either way.
Either way.
In the swimming scene, Jacob's like, how am I supposed to pay attention to this plot with a boner?
No, that's different.
The six-year-old girl swimming against her mom.
Oh, my God. Stop. Hey now.
Hey, it's the movie that made it happen, Jacob. It's not you. It's not the one.
Was this your first time watching this movie? Was this? I know it wasn't Dusty's.
This was my first time.
It was my first time.
Ben, have you seen it?
No. I thought I had, and then I realized again I was thinking about whatever happened to Baby Jane.
So what did you think this movie was going to be when I, like, I'm curious what you thought it was going to be.
It was everything I thought it was going to be, which was just absolute to the limit, screaming, crying, shaking voice about all things related to anything. Hangers, dirt, like.
Looking at his picture.
It's exactly what my picture is. That's 1,000% what I was expecting.
I was expecting a bit of a more serious, because it's a serious like subject matter.
It is, but
very dark.
I wasn't expecting such a ridiculous presentation of all of these things, like all of the like crazy overacting. And like the weird choices, like the little girl saying Jesus Christ, and like all these like laughable moments in the middle of this like movie about something fucking terrible. I didn't expect those things, and those are actually delightful comparatively. I'm glad this wasn't especially after the other fucking thing we watched this week. I didn't want wall to wall boner kill for 2 hours again. So you know, interspersed, there's some ridiculous nature, which I appreciated. Jake, what did you expect?
Man, I expected something more from the perspective of the kid, and not so much a Joan Crawford biopic that also shows the dark side of her life. It was better than I expected it to be. I never watched this movie because it was always one of those where I was like, I've heard enough about it where I'm like, I feel like I get it, but like, I'm glad I watched this. I didn't even know until this week this was about Joan Crawford. I thought Mommy Dearest was just about a crazy mom.
I thought that was Joan Crawford at first.
Wow.
I didn't, because I'm not like, I know Joan Crawford is like an old timey movie star.
Yeah.
So like I was a little confused at the beginning because I'm like, this seems like 1982. I figured I must be wrong about when Joan Crawford lived and shit. Like, like until like 10 minutes into this movie and I realized, oh shit, Joan Crawford's the asshole in this movie. Let me see if she's playing herself. I thought she at first I thought she was playing her, like they made a movie, like it's meta, like they made a movie about Joan Crawford, but Joan Crawford is a terrible asshole in the movie. And she was like willing to play herself, but also be a terrible asshole. And then I looked it up and I'm like, oh shit, this is like supposed to be kind of a true story. So I started like during this movie, I was like looking up everybody. Like I was looking up Christina. I was looking up Joan. I was looking up even the Pepsi guy she married and like all this shit. And like, there's some interesting things about like Christina Crawford wrote the book, obviously hates this movie.
Right.
She said that what happened was she sold the rights because she needed money. She wanted to make the obviously, I mean, you want to make as much out of the book as you can. But she then
her and her brother were also left out of her will.
Yeah, she did need fucking money.
That was true. And but once she saw, she wrote two scripts for the Mommy Dearest movie that got declined. And yep. Then they kept shopping the movie to different director after director after director. And they made kind of like a Frankenstein movie in terms of like a bunch of different writers' hands touched this movie. And then this is what we got. But what she says, because obviously I haven't read the book, I don't think any of us have, is that, you know how like the Rose Garden scene seems to be connected to her losing her movie deal? Right. That's not true. And then the wire hanger scene was put right after her winning that award, and it seemed to be, oh God, oh sorry, Juice held up a wire hanger, fucking freak me out.
But watch out, motherfucker.
God damn, bro.
That girl's got PTSD for sure.
It seemed to be like out of nowhere, the wire hanger thing. But even Christina Crawford was like it didn't happen that way. And like a bunch of the things that like Joan Crawford seems to just freak out for no reason. She said they're really simplifying. So what I've gathered from what Christina said was they had a really tumultuous relationship, and she doesn't deny that there was abuse. Like the book itself talks about the fact that there was abuse, obviously, but it was more in relation to their relationship and how she treated them. And I think in making a movie, they had to throw in like these big events. They had to throw in the fucking wire hanger thing, and they had to throw in the Rose Garden thing just to make it a movie. But if you really told the story, it would be, you know, a 10-hour movie with Joan Crawford just being kind of a passive aggressive dickhead to her daughter the whole time. And that doesn't make a very good movie. So like, I think
why
that's what
did
happened.
You adopt me? That's a very
the way
good
she
question.
Delivered that too. Why did you adopt me?
Yeah. See, now if they said that the teenage version of her got a Razzie Award, I would have been like, right. Yeah,
she but- was. The ironic, sorry, Ben, for interrupting you. She was nominated for Best Supporting Actress Academy Award.
No
for
shit.
For this movie?
Yeah.
While the others got Razzies?
No, different movie. Never mind. I just went through.
I was like, holy shit.
I just went through my
whole.
That was
a quick turnaround.
I went through my whole evening last night, and at first I thought it was for this movie, and then like almost at the end of the movie, I realized it wasn't for this movie, so I apologize.
Oh, so this girl has been nominated for an Academy Award before?
She has. She didn't win, but she was nominated.
Well, that's
for
cool.
A different movie.
Yeah.
Listen, I didn't think she sucked, and I thought she handled those emotional scenes pretty well. I thought she handled anger pretty well. She looked
well, and she actually, and to give her credit, she also acts like somebody who was raised by a passive aggressive narcissist in a very sheltered, crazy Hollywood life, but always being sent off to boarding schools and shit. So she's a little bit like a dog that's come back from a really strict training program. So she's kind of, I think that's where I saw like in her sort of wooden responses, because she's just not trying. She's trying to do anything she can not to set her off.
Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't want to avoid conflict. Well,
yeah.
I've been in situations like that, man. It's tough when like somebody can like just set off. I've had roommates where like, you had to tiptoe around them and shit, you know, you know, people are, and that's the thing. Like, this is obviously, you know, you can talk about mental illness when you talk about Joan Crawford, this movie, obviously, you know, like people can be a huge star and not be a completely huge egotistical dickhead.
Dave Grohl.
Like Dave Grohl.
Also, Joan Crawford was very entitled, at least from what I gather from this movie. She was entitled in so much that she came up, well, obviously she lived through the Great Depression, which is why she was like so intent. It seemed to like not give her children fucking anything, so that they had to scrap it up like she did, I guess. That's how my grandmother was, sort of.
I get it.
But she also became Hollywood royalty at a time in which, I mean, sort of like we're back at it, but like when Hollywood was treated like actual royalty, you know what I mean? Like it was a big deal. They were like an aristocracy or something like that. Look at, you know, the way they lived and who they were and how much public attention they got. So
yeah, that's a really good point, because I actually think it's a little like we still revere celebrities now, and we live a life where we're in a society that really looks up to celebrities as much as ever. But in terms of actually treating them like royalty, I think social media and like things like YouTube and like even like bullshit like Hot Ones and all that shit has humanized a lot of celebrities, even though we don't really like are nicer to them for any
for sure.
Of that. But like we don't see them as like demigods like they were back in the day. Like how many pictures of Joan Crawford did these people see? Cause like they probably saw a lot, but like not as, they can't follow her on Instagram and see what she's eating for lunch.
And,
you know what I mean?
And just the fact that like when she won her Oscar, it was like 1945 when she won that Oscar. So, you know, there wasn't even a television to watch it on, you know, and they announced it over the radio, and immediately every reporter is at her house, you know, and like, how that would feel to be that person. You know, like,
well, she avoided that Oscars that year. She was.
I was about to say, does anybody know why she didn't was not present for?
I was
either?
Curious
she,
about that too.
I tell you what. First of all, I'm gonna plug a couple of shows you should watch. You should watch the. What is it called? Is it called Bette and Joan? I don't remember. Ryan Murphy produced a series that had Susan Sarandon playing Betty Davis. And Joan Crawford was played by, what is that girl's name from American Horror Stories? She's in like every season. She's older.
Oh,
can't think of her name.
Shit. Oh, Sarah Paulson. It's not Jessica Lange. No. Oh, Sarah Paulson.
Jessica Lange.
Oh, okay.
And they had a rivalry. And I believe that this year, that year that that happened with Mildred Pierce, which is a great movie, by the way, better with, I'm struggling with names tonight, but Titanic, Kate Winslet, it's better with her. That Mildred Pierce is better. But when she won that night, she was up against some steep competition and she didn't want to have the drama. So it was like bringing the drama to her because she had just had that big exit with Metron Goldmeyer. That was a big deal back then.
Well, and that scene was really interesting because, one thing that this character did a lot, I don't know if the real Joan Crawford did this a lot, was she protected her power in a lot of situations, like especially with her daughter. But you see it really well when the guy tells her like, we're releasing you from your contract, your box office poison. And then he's like still like kind of nice to her. He's like, look, we're going to back you up. We're just going to say that we disagreed and all that stuff. And at the end, she's still holding on to trying to have a little bit of power in the situation. So she's like, walk me to my car.
Right.
And that's like, I don't know if any of you guys have been involved in a situation with a toxic partner.
Yeah.
But that's some toxic partnership. You know what
it
I mean?
Is, it yeah. is like trying to do any little thing to get you to do what they want again.
Yeah. And I really appreciated that about this movie. I thought they highlighted that well. Sorry, Jacob, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was
just, yeah, to a degree that I even begrudgingly kind of rooted for her when she was in the boardroom scene when she was getting let
right.
go from
the, I did too. I was like, what a powerful was like moment.
Some
game of,
it was like some Cersei Lannister type shit. You know?
Yeah. So don't like, fuck with me, fellas.
Yeah.
This ain't the first time at the rodeo.
Dude, how she delivered that line.
That was so great.
That little
dude.
Smirk, that little
fuck a Razzie, dude. Give her all the money. Give her all the Oscars, dude.
I think, Jacob, this is a kind of a unicorn performance because there are ways to squint and see this as a fucking groundbreaking, amazing performance by Faye Dunaway. But there's also ways to watch this and fucking laugh for 2 hours. So like,
oh dude, at the right before Jesus Christ, when she finishes yelling about the wire hangers, and then she's like staring at the little girl, and then you see her face kind of change to where she's kind of in her head, and then you see her face change again, and she goes fucking cross-eyed, and then she walks away.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was like, that's hilarious, but also terrifying.
Yeah, because like it's something I've seen before, but it is also like the emotions are at a level, and some people's emotions get to a level to where if you tried to reproduce them on film, you're yes. like, that's it's too over the top. Like, come on, yes. bring it down so it's believable.
Yeah,
you turn life, beat
some
red.
People's emotions just turn them into absolute maniacs.
Yeah.
That's my favorite line in the movie, The Jesus Christ, but my favorite scene has got to be when the guy is shaking the like ever loving shit out of her for like way too long.
That was a clutch move for men in the 50s.
You just like grab a bitch and shake her.
One step away from beating the shit out of you right here.
I'm getting real close. That's what I'm real that mad says. At you.
You're not going to jail, but they can feel your anger.
He wouldn't have gone to jail anyway. It was a woman in the 40s.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The cop's like, the cop's like, you mean you didn't hit her?
Yeah. I might kill you for being a bad F word.
This was all technically, this was in the 60s though, right? This movie takes place in like the mid to late 60s.
It was after beginning. Her. Look up Mildred Pierce, because that
Mildred Pierce
like
was 1945.
Yeah, right. The daughter was born in like 36 or
what?
No. 41, I think.
Hold on.
Yeah, it's just
because I think the daughter's.
What year was it supposed to be when the daughter was a teenager? Then
are we that in the was 50s like or something? That was.
I thought we were in the '70s.
There was no TVs.
No, I think you were, because Christina Crawford was born in 39.
Wow.
Okay. So she was 15 in that scene.
That would have been in the 40s. So during Joan Crawford's hate. See, I thought that this movie took, I could have sworn, I thought this movie was taking place sort of already. This movie moves weird with time.
It does.
It's forward sometimes, and the actors don't look any different. And it's like, it's hard to say, but like, maybe it just moved too fast. But I thought we were like straight up, we're at her decline phase.
So it seems like though. She had two declines. Like she had
okay, because like didn't she wasn't she popular? She was in the '60s.
Yes,
like, had a resurgence or something.
She was like back then. Women that made it, they like had tons of pictures. Like she had so many movies with that studio. I don't even know how many, but then she wasn't making any money, like he says in the movie, and so she had to leave. And then Mildred Pierce really saved her. It was like her big comeback. And then, but then she winds up doing like a bunch of cheap slash.
Yeah. And yeah,
she's breaking up.
Yeah. A little bit.
You're breaking up
a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. But,
hold on.
She's in a couple of quote unquote lost movies. And I didn't even know that existed, where like there's not a copy of the movie left. Which is that's pretty gnarly.
Oh, yeah, I mean especially back in the day, because film rots, and you know over time, these days, like they can take a movie from maybe the '60s and bake it and get a new transfer off of it. Man, it's getting to the point where even those things, like even your VHS tapes, like all the VHS tapes from the '80s, are getting to the point where they won't play anymore just because film is it rots.
Yeah, and a lot of times with this only really applies to TV, I think, more as they would tape over old shit. So like even a lot of the old like Ed Sullivan and like I think early Carson stuff, like some of that stuff is lost because they would
expensive too.
Tape very expensive back in the day. Still is.
It's always been it's like gold, man. That shit is pricey.
Yeah, man. And that is crazy though, that there's movies that people will never see again, you know, and because of that, you know, there's just not a copy that if it did not get transferred to VHS or DVD, it's gone.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you know, people work on it for a year. You feel like you're immortalizing something. Like what if it was your only movie and it's a lost movie?
That would fuck forever.
What's crazy is there's been a lot of lost movies like being found.
Yeah, sometimes it happens.
And being transferred using digital means to like make it look as, you know, like 4K and shit.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, they've done some pretty good job, even with old tape for remastering albums. Like they got this new baking technique they use for the film. It's pretty neat. But yeah, the '40s, man. People didn't have TVs. Of course,
no wonder
you just clean your house and beat your kids. There's nothing else to do.
Jesus, yeah, everybody got back from the war, had to deal with some hardcore PTSD. Just, you know.
She got tangential PTSD.
I said Casey Anthony might have been a better mother than Joan Crawford, just because, like, I can't imagine. living.
She didn't want to torture the girl. She just wanted
She granted that girl mercy.
Honestly,
she didn't wear cramping her style.
If I were in this, if I had to pick, I'm going to choose death over what this girl went through. Like,
that's because you believe in an afterlife. I will go through this. I ain't taking any chance.
He keeps surviving.
Yeah. I don't know how she fell down the stairs, officer.
Yeah, I don't know why she didn't kill her mother. She should have choked her out, especially at the end.
Because if you're raised in it, you never, that's, you know, why don't the people of North Korea take over and start taking care of themselves, man. You're born into it, man. It's a system of behavior and behavior modification.
We are born a clean slate, and like we're born with a clean hard drive before we get booted up, and immediately software is injected through.
Have you been reading Anton Wilson, Jacob?
No, these are all my ideas. Me and Anton Wilson. But no, the way I look at it is like, because I was arguing with somebody. I wasn't arguing with them, but they like are. Rutledge or you know whoever passed a law that you know we have to do the national anthem and then do a moment of silence in all the schools. It has to be, and that's a law in Arkansas now. And I'm like,
well, that's a police state there for you.
Well, and I said to this, you know, I'm talking to these people, I'm like, man, this is programming. I was like, kids don't understand what they're pledging allegiance to. Kids don't understand war. Kids don't understand patriotism. Kids don't understand God and country and whatever else the fuck they're fucking pledging all their heart and allegiance to. This is programming for good taxpayers that will grow up and be like, oh yeah, I love the military. Oh yeah, they're doing good things. We are teaching our kids a very one-sided history of America, and it's just all so... We're filling their hard drives with a bunch of bullshit before they even become adults.
Yeah, and then it results in shit like them using wire hangers and not crocheted ones on the $300 dresses I bought them.
And that creates, that's like malware right there, and that'll just fucking eat your hard drive up. And then you're fucking, your shit's going to crash. And yeah, that's what happens here. But no, this lady, you know what I didn't get at the end? This is a film that I'm guessing, I know that when this came out, this book was huge. Everybody knew the story of, you know, Joan Crawford because, you know, her daughter wrote this book and it was to get revenge on her for not leaving her anything in her will. I get that everybody knew that at the time, but it doesn't really translate unless you know the story. Like at the end of the movie, you know, it's like a wink. It's like, you know, he's like, she always gets the last word. And then the daughter's like, does she? Does she? Does she?
Yeah, that was really weird the way she did that. Like, I always, in movies, like in interactions in movies, I try to put myself sometimes and like see how like that would play if somebody said something like that to me. And like if my sister was in there and she was like, did she? Long pause. Did she? who are you?
Well, yeah, I felt like a gay man in that moment because I was like, yes, yes. Joan Crawford's about to get dragged.
But here's some tea. But what that's trying to say is, of course, you know, no, she didn't, because I'm going to make this movie. Ho ho. But yeah. If you didn't know the story and it ends there, you're like, oh, okay. I wonder what happened. You know, like what'd she do? But that actually,
well, it does say at the beginning, based on the book by Christine.
Sure, sure.
Robert, it cuts to her just beating up the corpse.
Well, let me say, I and a lot of other people didn't notice that. So, you know, but that actually was going to bring me to another point about Joan. There's a few times if I was interacting with this person in real life, you know, Joan in this movie, like toward the beginning, the guy comes in and he's like something, something, and she says, she'll like acknowledge him and then pause and look at him for like 3, 4, 5 seconds and then finish her sentence. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's flirting.
There's too much time in between there. I would have been like, okay. Okay. You know, or just something like that. Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I'd be like, why doesn't anybody say anything? Why are people just letting this woman act out her fucking, I'm Joan Crawford.
Because she's royalty. If you would have interrupted her, she would have been like, have this oaf taken away from me.
Dude, if only, like, to serve a fucking egotistical asshole as my job for my entire life.
Human reality.
Oh. Yeah, dude, that's what I mean. I work at a bank. I do that shit all day.
I can imagine.
The cool thing, like, that's another part of the, you can squint and see the Faye Dunaway thing in different ways though, because like most of the shit, like if you're watching it in a vacuum, you're like, wow, this is a crazy overacting. She's like, this is super camp, all that shit. But maybe her idea was like everything Joan Crawford did was performative.
Yes. Because
like even when she's Yeah, because when she told her daughter like I'm out of money and you got to start working your way through school, like she tells her the beginning of it, and then she walks over to the washing machine and just leans against it for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then she comes back to finish what she was saying.
Right.
Yeah. Like like you would see in an old 50s movie the way they would stage.
Actresses are actresses. They don't, or actors are actors. They don't stop. I mean, it's like
that's what she was using in the boardroom.
Yeah, I mean, it was her way of survival, was just to manipulate people around her. Because even that, when she accepts her speech, she doesn't care about those people at her house. She doesn't care about her fans, really. She doesn't even care about her own kids that she got adopted. She straps one of them to a bed when he goes to sleep. Yeah, I still don't understand.
Apparently, he sleepwalks. That's what I read in the Wikipedia.
Okay.
Yeah, I looked it up, but I assumed that because of we talked about Mike Birbiglia's sleepwalk. Well, his My Girlfriend's Boyfriend thing on the Patreon a couple weeks ago, a stand-up special. But he sleepwalks, and he literally like jumped out of a third-story hotel window sleepwalking. So he has to sleepwalk. He has to sleep. I don't know if he still does it, but for a long time he had to sleep in a fully zipped up sleeping bag with mittens on his hands.
Oh my God.
Because if he didn't wear the mittens while he was sleepwalking, he would unzip the sleeping bag.
Wow.
And so when I saw that kid, that's all I could think about was Mike Birbiglia jumping out of a fucking hotel window.
I guess that makes sense because when he unstrapped himself to go over and help her, I was like, well, what's the point of that shit? I guess. And then yeah. I was like, oh, your kid can just fucking unstrap himself. What's going on here?
It's weird torture.
Yeah, exactly. No, that makes sense, the sleepwalking thing. But, you know, it had to have been weird to be that little boy. It had to have been weird to be the brother. I mean, like especially in the wire hangers part, he acknowledged and, you know, offered to help her. So, you know, obviously the kid's got a heart and isn't just sitting there being a spoiled little asshole.
Yeah.
But I mean, God, how awkward to just be witness to this, but not have to deal with it, you know, like not have to deal with the brunt of it. You just have to witness it, which is in its own, a terrible form of torture in itself, you know, but yeah.
Yeah. After the fact, Christina Crawford didn't have full support of all of her siblings. At least one of them said that it was one of the boys, didn't witness any abuse. But a couple of them said that there was some things that went on. And so who cares whether I believe Christina Crawford or not, but I think definitely a large brunt of what she said is likely the case. But I also believe it's way more of a complicated situation probably than this movie portrayed.
Yes, you know what I mean? Definitely. It's not quite it's not quite the never ending soap opera of this movie, but it actually probably is in real life a never ending soap opera on a much more detailed and complicated scale. That has a lot more nuance than you can fit into a movie where you have to have scenes like the coat hanger scene.
Yeah, then well, just freaking then, out over coat hangers. Go ahead, Jason.
They would beat. Oh, you're fine. They would just beat their kids, though. I know my mom and my dad. The stories that they tell of what they went through, like I'm talking worse than wire hangers. Yeah, and that was normal. And I was watching this and I was thinking like there's a group of people in this world that want to go back to this time period. Like in their head, they think that this is like the best time in American history. And I'm like, it couldn't have been. Like nobody had any real freedoms. Whatever somebody with more power than you did to you, you just had to accept. Like you didn't have an outlet.
Boomers lived in a time of mass Stockholm syndrome, which is hilarious because now they don't trust the government and they grew up the whole time having to fight against a horrible authority. I don't know. But
it's a whole bag of worms there. Yeah. A can of worms there.
But that's what I was the whole time you were saying that like our parents' generation they were hitting. I'm like, yep, they created boomers. That's how it happened.
The boomers were like, you remember that machine we raged against?
Yeah.
Remember that machine? Was it? We had good times with that machine, didn't we? Let's get that machine back.
It wasn't so bad.
Say that we're fighting the real machine.
Yeah. If you think about it, the old machine is, you know, that's the OG machine. It's this new machine we got to be worried about.
Not like these new machines. The old machines were much better.
Much better.
They created me. I'm fine.
We were watching A Silent Voice with the kids, and they were my generation starts the movie, the Who song, and the kids were over there like rocking because it's in their movie they're watching. And, you know, and I was like, you know what? Those guys right there talking about their generation are now the boomers, those fucking asshole fucking boomers. They're like, hope they die before they get old. Well, they didn't, they got old.
And they're probably happy they are.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, stop fucking vibing to this bullshit. Anyway,
I want you to say those exact words. I mean, every once in a while, if they're just having a good time, I want you to be like, stop vibing to this bullshit.
You know who that guy voted for? your kid's dancing to Cat Scratch Fever, and you got to give him a
That's a sexy guitar lick.
Goddamn.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. That's a good song, though.
No, I'm just quoting what he says after he plays that song.
When she sent her kid to boarding school, I was like, this is probably actually going to be better.
I mean, yeah, of course. She gets to go out and try to be a normal person.
She genuinely, you know, when she left, she was like, thank you, Mother Superior, whatever. These have been the greatest years of my entire life.
Yes, Mommy. I'm so happy about every part of my life.
And you know those nuns don't play. Like, especially back then, they probably beat the hell out of them kids.
Yep. Nuns beat the shit out of kids.
Yeah, I was actually wondering.
Catholic Church is not a great place for kids back then, huh?
No. Church is not a great place for kids. Just make that easier.
Yeah, just period.
They were actively selling babies.
But I was going to say, like, the nun, she sits her down and she's just like, well, your mother paints you to be like Rizzo from Greece. You're apparently the worst person in the world, and I'm going to have to fucking train you.
Is Rizzo
you, like,
from Greece the worst person in the world?
Well, you know, for a girl.
She got pregnant as a teen.
She's a pregnant girl. She wears leather jackets and she listens to rock and roll.
Joan Crawford was terrible, but she's
a nun. But for a nun, this is bad. But anyway, I wonder, because like, that girl is not bad. Mommy Dearest just thinks she's bad because she's fucking crazy. But like, really, the only times that the only times that she's been bad is when she just stands up to Joan when she's like, no, I don't want to.
No,
do
I won't eat meat. I won't eat this raw.
Exactly. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, I would like to have a choice whether or not my shit is cooked, you know? And you know what? That just shows back then. The doctors used to tell people to eat shit like that.
Joan was just making that up. She was just like,
I know that's just actually true. No, like, shit, they used to tell you smoking was good for you.
No, I know.
That was a whole thing.
9 out of 10 doctors, bro.
But anyway, I just thought it was it's really I lost it. Go ahead.
You just made a really good case against vaccines, Jacob.
I did?
Yeah. Doctors said smoking was good for you. Why would you know? Doctors say a lot of things. Why do we listen to doctors, you know?
Exactly.
They do say a lot of things.
They think they're so smart.
They say the darndest things, I'd say.
I will say I had a doctor once that ruined my life because he just couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. Like, he made my problems worse. So, I mean, it can happen. They're not all.
Was he old?
No, that's the thing, is that he,
that's crazy,
but he would look at you like, I'm sorry, like, I can't figure this out. I'm so sorry.
I usually only work on white guys.
Just so foreign.
General, I'm scared to touch you, really.
In general, are, you know,
he puts on two pairs of gloves. It's the whole thing.
Yeah, you're right, Ben, but I'm lucky I have a really good one.
If you get a good one, it's awesome. Yeah. But there's a lot of kind of shitty GPs out there. It's not like they're fucking heart surgeons or anything.
Yeah, and that's why I asked you if he was old. Old doctors stink.
Old doctors of the fucking... I had an old doctor almost kill me in Boonville once whenever I was a teenager.
There I don't mean to laugh, but that's kind of funny.
Oh, the yeah, for sure. The way you said sure.
Yeah. He beat me with a bat.
Yeah. Something happened, and it was the craziest thing. I was a fat kid, so it probably had something to do with that, but it was like my back just went completely out for like a week, and I went to this old-ass doctor at the fucking Boonville Hospital, and he's like, oh, yeah, you're fat, you got acne, and here, take this medicine, that'll help. And my mom was like, my mom works in for the state for at the Hill, so it's like psychology. So she's adjacent to dealing with prescribed medicines.
Yeah, yeah. She at least understands the chemistry of a lot of it.
Some of it, you know. Yeah. She doesn't prescribe it, but she's like, she knows enough to like, I'm gonna look that up in the book real quick. And the fucking shit he gave me was for like hyperthyroidism, which I do not have and can like seriously like fuck with your hormones and stuff. Yeah. She was like, do not take this medicine. We're throwing it out.
Yeah, they
doctors, man.
Well, I find that a lot of doctors have like their shit like that they prescribe a lot to a lot of people. And some of them are contracted to do so. Yeah, the juice knows. I there's actually a website where you can look to see who has given your doctor money. Which is actually I wish I could plug the actual website, but look it up. Anybody listening to this, if you're seeing a doctor and you're questioning what they're prescribing you, because you can see what pharmaceutical companies have given your doctor money. I had a doctor. Have you guys seen What About Bob?
Yeah.
It's a fucking great movie. You know that part where Bill Murray is first meeting Dr. Marvin, and Dr. Marvin turns around to his bookshelf and he's like, there's a new groundbreaking book, and the bookshelf is all copies of Dr. Marvin's book, and he's like, ah, and he grabs one of the fucking 30 copies that are on there. Yeah. I had a doctor who did that to me with medicine. Obviously it wasn't he didn't make the medicine, but he opened a drawer that was filled with samples of the same medicine. Like, just fucking the whole thing was the same medicine. I never even took it.
Just I have inside baseball about that. I used to work at a clinic and I was a chart guy.
And, oh yeah.
Yeah. And, I'd walk into like the break room, and there would be in the morning, like a mountain of Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich or chicken biscuits, and you could just take them. You know, and I was always just like, man, it's pretty nice of the doctors to buy us all breakfast like this. And they're like, oh, the doctors don't do that. These are the pharmaceutical reps that buy this stuff for us. And I was like, what does that mean? They're like, well, these guys come in and they want us to, you know, use their drugs. And so they come in and they buy us food and they kiss our butts and they give us a bunch of samples and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, so they get stuck with all these samples they have to get rid of because, you know, and also they buy a lot of, you know, drugs, and if that's the drug they buy, they push any chance they get to fucking prescribe that drug, they'll take it so they can get that shit out of there. It's fucking it's a whole terrible ordeal, and it's not about saving people, and it's not about it's all become about money. Everything's about fucking money. Jeff here,
but to that point,
oh, go ahead.
If for the anti-vax thing though, also, though, doctors.
I was joking about the vaccine thing, by the way. Just for the people listening,
go get vaccinated.
Just for the people listening, I just realized I did not walk back on that. Go ahead, Ben.
just to put this feather in your hat, if somebody's like, I don't trust doctors, I ain't taking that vaccine. Well, doctors don't make vaccines. It's a bunch of fucking chemists and scientists and highly paid professionals and labs. So, you know,
you can trust it. It was a black scientist. It was a black scientist, and they tested it on black people at HBCU, so you know they made sure it worked before they gave it to white people.
They go ahead and test it.
As scared as I am of Big Pharma, I actually trust pills and medicine more than doctors sometimes. So
I don't blame you for that.
Not all doctors. I'm not like anti-doctor. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it. I'm just saying
that they'll kill you in your sleep, man. Yeah,
having
they'll find you.
For as far as general practitioners are concerned, it's more like, hey, if I know the medicine works, I just have to go to an office and convince you to give me that medicine.
Yeah.
Rather than for you to think about what I need and what I don't need, because you don't really have a fucking clue.
That's how I get my steroids.
Hell yeah.
Jeff says in the chat, this movie is from the times of leaded gasoline. Everybody had lead poisoning. That's
a thing.
See a warning sign, it's because somebody did that shit. And they had to make sure they made a sign so nobody did that shit again.
That's why there were so many serial killers around that time coming up. Because
of leaded gasoline?
Because there's lead in everything, paint in the houses. Right,
that's true.
Pipes.
And the leaded
in the atmosphere.
The emissions from the leaded gasoline put a lot of lead into the air.
Wow.
And lead is shown to change some of the chemical makeups of your brain and make it
a heavy metal, and it just sets in your
fuck. Yeah. Weenie, weenie, weenie.
Yeah, it's just a hypothesis.
It just rocks through your genes, man.
Dude, that's crazy. So like nowadays,
cancer and shit.
Hasn't gas been unleaded long enough that maybe they could just call it something else?
We want to make sure.
What do you want to call it? Like car slurpee? Like what are we reading?
This is from that same time period where you watched the thing about the ladies that were irradiated from their goddamn job painting glow in the dark shit on watches.
Well, you know, it's just like the same thing.
Fuck people, money, right?
Well, right. Yeah. But like I'm just saying, you know, like they don't have, like Coca-Cola isn't called uncocained, you know, like it's like.
Well, because the cocaine, I mean, I guess it is dangerous, but not in the way that lead is dangerous. Cocaine, it's like you're going to get too big of an ego, have too good of a time.
But now,
maybe join the Nazi party.
I'm saying
make a slasher movie or two.
Now, can't we trust it enough to call it something else instead of just the thing that will kill you?
That's a good point, Jacob.
It's called regular, though. They just call it regular.
No, they call it regular unleaded.
It says regular unleaded. But if the unleaded dropped off, you wouldn't have a little bit of an inkling to walk in and be like, hey, did they start putting lead back in this shit? Like,
yeah, totally.
I think that might be why, because like you walk in like, it doesn't say unleaded anymore. Is that leaded up, bro?
So what you're saying is that people are stupid.
Yeah.
You have to have like a multi-million-dollar marketing campaign. It's like, new gas, still unleaded, brand new name.
And yeah.
It's crystal gas.
TV commercials, it's everywhere. Do not approach the cashier and ask. The gas has no lead. You'll see. New gas.
Yeah, they'd have to eliminate unleaded, and then they'd have to put giant ass signs outside. Still no lead.
Have one of those flappy guys. One of those spin signs.
Regular and
unleaded than free range. Yeah. Free range gas.
Never had less lead in it. Yeah.
I'm gonna pass out.
Grass-fed gas.
Nature's gas.
Oh my god!
Dinosaurs were healthy.
Man, thank you, Jacob. The vision that just painted my head. <The fuck?
laughs> Thank you, Jeff.
I love that it was like a 90s tire commercial style ad campaign. No gas! No
yeah, it's like a fucking breakfast drink from the 1993.
Get some kind of song. It ain't got no lead.
Get out of bed. Don't worry about the lead.
It won't fuck up your head.
There's no lead in my gas. Cheap over the top.
Brought to you by Ford Truck Month.
Yeah.
Less headaches when huffing.
This ain't your grandma's gas.
It won't make your kids stupid.
And now, premium.
Fine print at the bottom of the pump, but this has not been proven. Fine print studies.
Still might kill you.
Yeah.
Possible side effects.
Lead
guts.
You still can't drink it. You could drink it a little more, though.
Millennials would drink it.
It's not leaded, guys.
They're putting it in pouches,
it's got
bro.
All the flavor. Sniff this rag, bro. It's got all the flavor of lead, but none of the actual lead.
People dipping their joints in it, just burning their faces off.
And they would. They 100% would. You know, this reminds me of the Smurf story I've been trying to tell you guys. I have a guy that I know to be a wacky conspiracy theorist, not Jacob. He has my uncle was dying of cancer, and this motherfucker took me in the office at the garage and told me to get hemp seed oil and tell my uncle to use it, that it cures cancer. And he had part of his jaw removed, had to have in his tongue, and had to have it, you know, surgically remade and shit. And he told me, he said, you can YouTube it. He's like, I've seen it. This guy had lost his whole nose, and he put it on it. He was fine. I was like, he grew a nose back? Yep. I was like,
a fucking lizard?
All right. I was like, okay, whatever. So I get in his car, and he's got just stacks of Coast to Coast AM DVDs burned.
Is that Art Bell?
Dude, that's awesome. I want a copy of some of those.
he was like a truck driver for UPS or something like that. So he was on these long hauls, and it just rotted his brain, man. But I didn't see him for a long time. And after Dad got sick, Dad was sitting in the garage, and this dude come in. I seen him walk through the door, and he went over and started talking. Dad, heard you been sick and everything. Dad's like, yeah, and kind of tells him a little bit about it. And this is right when me and Grady started running the garage, and he goes in there and starts talking to Dad, and I hear him, have you got any shots here lately? You know, and I was like, motherfucker, he's about to blame all of this on whatever shot Dad has gotten recently. And he was telling him that, you know, that's probably where all this come from. And I was like, man, this thing that he has was first diagnosed in like 1800s, man. It's been around for a while. This shot that Dad got didn't cause it. And he keeps on. And Dad's the type of dude that if this guy talked to him too long, Dad would get in his head. Something with the pills that keeps him alive would, he'd quit taking them. And I was like, don't be telling him that, man. And I was like, don't tell him nothing else. And he's like, well, and I was like, no, man. I was like, I know what you're doing. And he come over to the car to me, and I was just about to get up out of it, tell him where to shove it. And when I stood up where I could see him well, this sumbitch is blue as just blue. Anything you got blue around you, he's blue. And it just shocked me so bad. I was like, homie, like, why do you look like you're fucking dead? Well, he's like, I said, homie, why do you look like you're dead? He goes, I got iron poisoning from a bad well. And I was like, God damn, dude. And he just stormed out of there. 2 seconds of Googling, he didn't have iron poisoning. The motherfucker would have been dead. He takes silver, what do they call it?
Silver nitrate?
Something like that. I know it was one of these snake oil deals back in the like medieval.
I remember seeing a national news story, some people turning blue from some.
Yeah, there was a royal family that took this, and it
picture of this.
It turns them blue.
Look up blue skin side effect.
Silver something, but yeah, man. So you can tell silver anybody. Colloidal silver, yes. Yeah. Yes. That's what turned this motherfucker blue.
Oh my God, dude, they're so fucking blue.
Yeah, dude, like straight up.
Send a picture of that.
I gotta share this.
Like, just put it on this. The straight up, what's her name? Here, is Veruca Salt the one that turned
into blue? No, Violet Beauregard. That's what I was thinking. Violet Beauregard. That's what I was thinking the whole time. Up, man. Violet, you're turning Violet. Violet. Violet.
Is it Mystique?
Imagine seeing this motherfucker in person. Like, I was shocked when I stood up out of that car.
You're
like, I was ready to fucking blow up on a dude. That was the only thing at that point that could have stopped me. Yeah.
Look at how fucking blue these guys are.
Oh my God.
He was okay. So he's about, let's see. Let me look at one of these real good here.
Ever loving fuck. I can't believe you know what they look like? Donna the Dead Zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he like that?
Colloidal. Why are they drinking this?
No, dude. He was
like that?
he was a little bit lighter than the white beard. Yeah, he was a little bit lighter than that.
My God.
Maybe like this woman up here at the top left.
Smurfs.
It's a sort
dude,
of
that is insane. Like this one?
If you know who Solomon Grundy is in the DC stuff, one of the first fucking things.
Dude, that is so fucking that's gross. Hilarious. That's gross and terrible.
Yeah, so lead, eat it.
I got iron poisoning.
why are they eating this stuff?
It's
because it chases away the COVID.
Why do people wear copper bracelets?
Because somebody told them it worked.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Because commercials was Jose Canseco or whoever.
Why do people believe in chemtrails, Jacob? Who knows?
Yeah, because someone made a video YouTube about it.
Because they have eyes, man.
I'm just glad I got to you first before a pro colloidal silver video got to you. Then Jacob be on here one night and just be like, what's up? What's up? Look at me.
Hey guys,
I got superpowers.
Dude, Jacob just showed up blue and was like trying to act normal and whatever.
Hey guys, I just bamfed into this spot right before I turned the video on.
You look like Tobias Funke.
Yeah, you've been watching Arrested Development, Jacob.
No, never seen it. Anyway, Can Mommy Dearest,
I'm in the Smurfs history.
Funny Let's talk show. About Mommy Dearest. There ain't more about
it. I mean, or not.
Juice.
Yeah, Dusty, what are your thoughts? You haven't said much of anything.
I think it was pretty evident what my thoughts were. You heard what all movie. I had to say the first, what, how long we've been in here? 45 minutes.
What did you have to say? I didn't hear it. I need you to say it again.
Nothing. Nothing, man. Nothing. I have nothing to say. It's
you don't
fucking,
like this movie?
Dude, this is one of Tina's. I don't know why this one and Flowers in the Attic.
Oh my God. That was what was recommended next on Prime.
Yeah, dude. Like I've seen these fucking movies so many goddamn times. So many goddamn times.
Wait, so this is like a repeat watch for people?
Oh yeah, dude. God,
dude.
Okay.
This is my wife's favorite movie.
Well, yeah, that's I was talking to her and she said it was her second favorite movie. What's her first favorite movie?
Oh, now I have questions. It's probably going to be Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Okay.
Oh shit.
I was thinking it was going to be like A Star Is Born with Lady Gaga or something.
That might have been. I don't know. Who cares? I know this one's up there.
Jackie, if you're listening, my freaking wife.
This one did she see it as a kid and that's why?
No, I introduced her to this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, man.
I grew up with these weird movies. Like my mom watched some crazy, like Flowers in the Attic.
I guess we haven't
one that she watched.
Have we gotten into like how'd you feel about this? When what age did you see this and how'd you feel about it?
I saw this movie rather young. I'd say I was probably 7 or 8. And this was like the first idea that I knew that parents could like really hurt their children. But I always saw it as like almost like a comedy. It wasn't until I was an adult that I saw it for like the horrible story that it is. Like it's pretty awful, but I still laugh every time I watch it. The acting just pulls you in.
Man, them days are long gone for me. Like that shit. I can't believe Jacob hasn't seen it just by proximity of me and Tina. Like, I know this has to have been playing one day when he was here. I mean, it's just, there's just no way it didn't.
And see, that's the thing. I feel like I would have taken note of this.
Oh, you probably like, that's the strange thing. Like you and Tina kind of like the same garbage. So hey. Like, I'm sure this would have been one of those movies. If you had been in the room and noticed it, like I'd have been off fucking reading a comic book or something and y'all have been in here fucking girl timing it.
Does Tina know that the Justice League is gray now?
Okay, maybe you don't like the same garbage, but you got a lot of crossover garbage. But yeah, like this has been viewed so many times in my life since we were in fucking high school.
Wow.
Like it started off, you know, I wasn't too harsh on it, but the more I've had to see it, the worse it gets. And then now as an adult, like, I know for a fact there are plenty of people that we were raised up with that this movie wasn't a fucking movie for them. Like, they lived that shit. Right. And I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
And I pissed two people off last night watching this movie again, because you shared it that we were doing it and somebody seen it. And, oh, well, guess what we're going to watch? Fuck. So we watched it. And I think they were angry with me by the time it was over, because I would just – we'd just be sitting there and just – it'd be like one of those tense moments, you know, and I'd just be like, acting! Everybody in the fucking room. And
that was – they didn't like that I voice.
They didn't like it when I pointed out in the choke scene where she's got her down choking the shit out of her. Like, she's choking her. And then she moves up to like the kind of the top sides of her head to like slam her head a few times, but the girl's still like going,
ah, ah. Like, literally just let's go for a little bit, and the girl's still doing that.
Yeah. And and then I don't remember what they asked some, I don't remember one of them. It was my youngest daughter and wife were watching it, and they asked me something, and I don't remember what it was, and I was explaining it, and they, that's when they realized for the first time after watching this for goddamn 30 fucking years that this was kind of a true story.
What?
I was like, how in the fuck? I knew more about this than the people in my house that love it. So that's,
well, what a great that surprise.
Was my experience with it this time.
So. What a great surprise. Oh, yeah. All this horrible stuff was true? Awesome.
Oh, dude, if I was watching Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze for the 30 billionth time,
yeah,
the same like, movie really happened.
Same movie. The movies, Secret basically. Of the Ooze. That was the perfect one to pick, Jacob. I guess.
I wish that movie were real.
Yeah,
I do too.
It was a long time before I realized that Surf Ninjas is based on a true story.
It is.
Money can't buy knives.
Yeah. That movie gets
a gold. It's a Patusani folklore.
I remember whenever I found out that Schindler's List was based on a true story. I'm like, that's neat. That's pretty neat.
So it wasn't.
Fuck yeah.
Well, I'll be.
I appreciate it more.
Oh man, this dude that plays her boyfriend, I like this guy. He had a real old school flair. Men. Back in the 40s, man, like they were so hard.
That was back when men were men and women were nervous. Good old days.
Before the Me Toos.
Yeah.
Way before. It was him only, not Me Too at all. Yeah. Him only.
Well, there was Me Toos. They were just like, who cares? Stand over there.
Yeah. Oh, dude, next. That once again, where she wouldn't let her power go, when he like kind of made her the sitting wench during his dinner, and she did not like that one bit, and they got home.
Hey, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was just gonna say we need to talk about the very real part of the story in which Christine Crawford, as a young adult, is cast in a soap opera in which she plays a character named Joan, who was then replaced by her 60-year-old mother at the time.
Oh, okay.
Joan Crawford.
Her character was 28 years old, portrayed just, it's like Roseanne, you know? But instead of like a new Becky, it was like a 60-year-old woman comes in and starts playing Becky.
That's really weird. And did they used to, I guess they used to air soap operas live?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so that's really crazy. So like if you fucked up a take, they went to commercial, and then you better come back and fucking deliver. That's fucking so much pressure. I mean, that's way different.
She's under so much pressure, Jacob.
But yeah, that's so I love how she has this, you know, terrible shit happen to her. She's laying in this hospital bed, and then the nurse comes in and she's like, "Are you ready to watch your show?" And she's like, "How are they doing my show without me. That doesn't make any sense. How are they doing that? And then she's like, oh, your mom is on it. And it took me a second to realize that she was even playing the same character. And I love it when she comes back to her and she's like, turn it off. She's like, I can't take this anymore. My mother is every part of my life, and she will always be
mommy dearest.
I thought she looked like Evan Rachel Wood.
A little bit, kinda,
yeah. Evan Rachel Wood should play her in the remake of this.
She acted like just Wood.
Fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yeah.
Slam dunk.
Stiff as a board, I get it.
You know what?
She did get beat by a person who looked like Marilyn Manson. Joan Crawford definitely was.
That's true. Oh, that's true. Got the painted eyebrows and such.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what, man? Like we said earlier, I'd be stiff as a board too if I was walking on broken glass everywhere I walked in this house, and like any little thing, like, dude, that's rough, man. Like, that's rough stuff.
Yeah.
Like living with people like that, and they could just go off at any moment.
With mental disabilities that are not taken care of.
Yeah.
She's definitely obsessive compulsive. They set that up really well at the beginning.
She needs to smoke some weed.
Mad at the dirt.
Yeah.
And then she told the guy to take his shoes off, and he takes his shoes off, and the next shot is her walking towards the guy, and you could hear her shoes clicking against the ground when she's walking.
Her high heels. She can walk in her shoes. Nobody else.
That was the scene I was talking about. That was it. He's like, what am I going to do with my socks? And then she like looks at him and then takes like 3 to 5 steps real slow. And then says, I can handle some socks.
Yeah, something like that.
And just in that time, like I said, in real life, I would have been like, okay, this is weird, Joan. what are you doing?
Then they go do it in that fantastic shower.
Dude, I feel like if I was in that shower, as soon as all three of the jets turned on, I'd be like, what the hell? I'm getting hit like from all directions here.
It looked like they were about to drown. It was like the director's like, put another shower head in there. And they're like, come on, man.
We need more heads, man.
We need more heads. That's the thing. Joan Crawford's so clean. She got to do it in the shower.
Fuck, dude.
After spending like 3 hours getting ready in the morning to clean the house, and then she's going to go take the shower.
What was the shit she put in the ice?
Alcohol.
Was it alcohol? Okay.
Yeah.
Gotta keep that skin tight.
Was that like mineral water? Or I didn't know.
I just think she put like witch hazel and something else in it.
It's probably used as, my guess was it was used as like a, because she just took like, she just splashed it on her face, and I imagine sipped a little bit of it, and I'm also imagining that's to ward off the shakes, because she's a terrible alcoholic.
Dude, that would wake you right the fuck up, though, I'll tell you. Maybe I should start doing that in the morning.
You're gonna turn blue, Jacob. Or crazy.
Dude, no, man. Like, that blue thing's got me all fucked up. That's like some big fat liar shit.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Paul
Giamatti. That's what I would have said. I would have seen him and gone, God damn, John Paul Giamatti.
See, I was thinking I would have said, God damn, Viola Beauregard, but Papa Smurf works pretty well, too, I guess.
You are blue, motherfucker. Dusty, you see the crazy.
Da-boo-dee-da-boo-da.
It's fucking insane.
I've never seen a blue person before.
Yeah. That sounded racist.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you're starting anywhere I live, man.
I know it wasn't. It just sounded that
way. You need to work on that. You need to be more accepting of blue people. Hey, cerulean man. People are good people.
I could never date a blue girl.
No.
That blue girl in the picture, she looked a little too blue.
No blues in the house. That's what I always say.
don't bring
maybe
them
like a
dinner.
Light, maybe like a light skin blue. I could maybe
that's the only color we can discriminate against.
Yeah, blue, I'm not racist. People. I'm not racist. I just think that they should stay with their own kind.
Yeah. Get a job, Bluey.
fucking Smurf.
That, and that's how white people have maintained success throughout history. They just found something to not like about somebody's skin and be like, yep.
And you know how they all are. Maybe that's what can unify all of us.
The real fucking
just like,
racists.
Fuck the blues.
Yeah.
Well, the real racists are the people that took Blue Lives Matter and like put it towards cops instead of real blue people.
That is true. That is true. And yeah, anytime we see a new color pop up, we got to assert our dominance immediately. You have to understand that.
Get white your blue is ass white. Over the- Get I heard your blue I- ass across the tracks.
Yeah. I heard there's once some green people.
Once a week, we need to get that Google page that you got there and just pick a random picture out of it and post it. Blue Lives Matter.
You should make some wanted posters. Make some wanted posters with wanted dead or alive.
Welcome here.
Blue don't lose.
Colors
only. L-U-E-S. That's how we're gonna spell it. Yeah. And we're gonna post it like propaganda posters. These colors don't run. Fade real bad, but they don't run.
I once wanted to make a shirt where it was like the rebel flag, the Confederate flag, but make it the African colors. And it said, these colors run faster than you do.
They wouldn't get it.
They probably
would be no, lost. They wouldn't get it.
They'd be lost on so many. I mean,
I don't know.
They have them with a bass fish behind them, and I've seen one with like a weird stork looking bird. Like when the Confederate flag thing was real big, and they were selling out of all just the regular Confederate flag, so they had all this like just. Fucking horse shit that had a Confederate flag with just fucking just the most random shit over it. So, man, if you like Pokemon and racism, you could have a fucking Confederate flag with a Pokeball in the middle of it. It was some of the craziest Confederate flags in these parades around here.
They marked the parades and fairs.
Oh yeah,
like what can we get away with? With the intellectual property and throwing together some good old fashioned Confederate propaganda.
Looney Tunes.
They go really well together.
Yeah.
Wile E. Coyote.
Tweety Bird with the attitude like these colors don't run.
Why is every white woman I see with a Donald Duck shirt racist? Like every single one of them stink. Like with I guess there's like adult people are interesting to me, but the ones with the giant fucking you look like you slept in it shirts with
the Moo shirts,
those are
the Winnie the Pooh shirts.
It's Tigger. It's like got Tigger on it.
Yeah, I call those, it's a whole different those, race of human being.
I call those poo people. They're always representing, dude.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, you do have a word for them. I forgot.
Dude, I was staying.
Yeah, pretty good word for it too. Actually. Yeah.
And it's always a lot of the females will wear like strictly Piglet or Winnie the Pooh, and it's the men that are wearing Tigger
and Taz.
I was about to say Taz, and there was one more.
Wile E. Coyote,
Elmer Fudd like, on the mud flaps.
You'll see this couple in Walmart or something like that, and it's always different people. And you're like, how do these people coordinate this? Does this just fall into place?
It's in their jeans.
It's crazy. And one day I was standing in line. And I saw this dude in a Tasmanian Devil shirt, and he was coming up. No, it wasn't Taz. It was whoever else. Anyway.
Sylvester?
I think it was Tweety Bird. No, it was Tweety Bird, yeah. And this guy comes up in this big, baggy, slept in it a million times, nasty Tweety Bird shirt. And he walks up, and he hands his wife, who looks like what I would call a poo person, I was like, oh no, she's not wearing any poo. She was actually dressed fairly nice. And I was like, something's off here. And then I started looking around, and then I looked down at her fucking shoes. Winnie the Pooh shoes. Yeah. I swear to God, she's a grown woman.
Were they Winnie the Pooh Crocs?
No, it was before Crocs. This was like in the 90s. This is
BC, Winnie, before Crocs.
She had fucking Winnie, like a grown woman with like Winnie the Pooh tennis shoes on, man.
They use, that's funny because poo women usually have like generic pink flip flops that are like dirt stained.
dirt stained, and their feet are like here's the shoe and here's their half their foot and their toes are like crunched out the fucking end. Yeah.
Dude, this is like extra crunchy. This isn't even being classist. These people exist. You can find them.
They're proud of it.
It's only classist.
This isn't classist. They exist.
Yeah, it's only classist if they don't exist. They don't just exist, so you know.
They're very proud of their. Yeah. Why do I feel their heritage?
I'd have a harder time finding somebody that didn't look like that.
You can go outside right now, Dustin, go throw a rock.
Dude, I bet I could walk outside and one of them's yelling at their fucking husband like two houses down.
Yeah, beat that kid with a wire hanger.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The cops will be down here in a little bit.
She's beating her kids and yelling at her blue husband with the Tasmanian Devil shirt on.
Just a bunch of Karens.
Yasmin Bleeth and the Hoff having a fucking drunk fight down the road here in a little bit.
Holy shit. Attack of the Pooh People coming this fall.
Let's make this a movie.
On ABC Family.
Okay, guys. Okay.
TLC. Gonna be on TLC.
Hey, I'm looking at this picture of the wire hanger scene that Ben's got up here. And that fucking skin treatment she had on her face for that scene, I guess, you know, it's a mask that ladies put on or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And whatever. But I don't understand that shit.
Something weird.
She's exfoliating, whatever she's doing. But it really fucking plays in the scene, and it is terrifying. Because, like, when I was watching this YouTube video right before I started this movie, I saw that, and I had no context, and I was like, did she fucking put on some kind of Joker makeup and fucking go? I mean, like, yeah. And no, man, it's just fucking scary, dude. I'm always
like Misery for kids.
he's always gonna get that Justice League BVS next year.
My son,
Joker.
My son was a Joker. I guess there's a show called Injustice or something like that, and he was just like. No, it's called Injustice. It's like an animated show. He was trying to get me to watch it. I was like, is Batman in it? And he's like, no. I'm like, well, I'm not watching it.
Anyway. Batman is in Mommy Dearest. It was a weird scene, but he's in there.
That was Bruce Wayne at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Man, do you think there's anybody, like, who in Hollywood acts like this still, do you think?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, maybe.
Nice. Christian Bale?
No.
No, that was a bad take. No.
Yeah, no. Christian Bale just takes his craft very seriously. He's not deluded into thinking he's royalty. Right. But Gwyneth Paltrow, I think, fits because she came from Hollywood royalty. Her parents were Hollywood superstar.
She sells candles of a vagina smell. So
yeah,
I mean,
exactly. Yeah, you gotta come from some kind. I mean, there's like a, you know, people talk about privilege a lot, but there's a layer of privilege that you can only, you have to achieve a certain layer before you can even begin to think about selling candles that smell like your own vagina or balls.
Yeah.
Or
whatever. Can we do
to
a
think
time,
that people would, you know,
can demand we do a,
it.
Can we do a time travel movie where Joan Crawford in old Hollywood walks into a time machine and comes out, and it turns out Gwyneth Paltrow bought Joan Crawford's old house, but she comes out in the closet, but she's in 2021. She's in Gwyneth Paltrow's house, and she gets to see what it's like to be a movie star in 2021 and selling vagina candles. What would Joan Crawford think of that?
I mean, I think if she could have done it, she would have done it. she was talking Pepsi.
I imagine Joan Crawford would be on Instagram, and anytime she lost a single follower, somebody in the house was getting a talking to about
it. A talking to? That's polite.
Because your picture was on the refrigerator, it turned them off.
I'll tell you what.
Dare you?
If she walked into Gwyneth Paltrow's house, she'd look at the cell phone and go, what the fuck is that? That's all she would be. Like, all this new technology, like,
television set.
Yeah. Dude, what the fuck? It's in. It's that big.
To take a functioning iPhone back to 1945, like
you'd be God.
You would be God, and that would destroy brains.
Except like, for it wouldn't work.
No, I'm saying that's what I said. A functioning iPhone.
You hadn't seen those paintings with iPhones in them?
They yes, were I have. Yes. No, Juice, I'm saying like it's tethered to this time, so you can still use it, and I can even show Joan Crawford, "Mommy Dearest." In 1945.
Why don't you just bring her then to the future?
Well, that was what I just said with the new movie.
Well, no, because if you take the phone, you don't just have to you don't just get to show Joe Crawford, Ben. You get to fucking you're probably president at that point.
Yeah, yeah. You'd be like, hey guys, everybody, I know everything that happens for the next however long.
And, do you guys know humans? They're gonna kill this person. They're gonna kill you.
They're gonna take my phone.
No, you just convince them that the phone will kill them.
Oh, dude, this thing will blow up and kill you. Yeah, exactly. Dude, they're like cavemen. They're like, oh, back up, everybody. Yeah.
We're talking about the 40s. They're not cavemen. They know what televisions are, you know?
There was probably a guy who was predicting that those things would exist long before they did, that they called crazy back then.
Yeah, but you're from
Tesla.
Yeah, but you're from the future. You can tell them anything.
Yeah.
Listen, that's guys, true. Baywatch was 25 years ago. People were stupid enough 25 years ago to like Baywatch. Think about what it was like 80 years ago.
And apparently people are still watching it if it's that's on a streaming point. Platform.
Well, 80 point. Years ago, you go back and you can no longer be snarky with people because they'll just shoot you.
Right.
Listen, I couldn't go back at all. So
no, you'd be yeah. We can't send you back. Yeah,
you got to stay out of the hot tub time machine. This round.
If Jacob has this technology, what's his priorities when he gets? What's the first three things he shows people?
Porn.
Batman versus Superman, Justice League, the Snyder Cut, and then Justice League, the theatrical cut to show how great the Snyder Cut is in comparison.
No, you know what I would do in 1945. Since I would have access to I would have access to every song and movie made for the next however long, I would make all of that stuff.
Yeah. I would write pet sounds.
I'd write pet sounds. I'd write Nevermind. I'd write.
You would have to know them like, all by heart, lyric by lyric.
No, you have the iPhone, bro.
I brought the recordings because I have the iPhone.
Oh, okay. Okay, then.
Would you make Rad first?
Oh, word.
What you should just do is just give them the already recorded versions.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, you're just giving them files and be like, hey, this is
me doing this.
Perform it.
You would be Rob Corddry in the end of Hot Tub Time Machine. Lugal. And what was he in? Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hair metal. Yeah. Lugal.
Was he in Rat?
yeah, one of those hair bands. Yeah. I don't remember what it was.
But anyway, yeah, that's what I'm gonna do.
Jacob would have come up with Jugal.
We
find out that Jacob goes back in time, and the only thing that changes about our history is that Rad is called Jacob,
and he's really good friends with Corey Feldman.
Yeah,
that's all he did. That's all he did. Oh, and he's in all these behind the scene photos of Jaws, but nobody knows what he did on the set. Yeah. He was just hanging out.
He's just looking around the corner like
every time Bruce broke down, you'd just be right behind Spielberg massaging his shoulders.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay, buddy, bro. It's gonna like, be the best
work
movie.
Out, bro.
Understand what this
all
is gonna
work
do,
out.
It's gonna maybe you'll make a better see. Movie. So when I see it, I'll like it.
I got a buddy. He just will never understand your genius.
Yeah. Can you?
We gotta put more black people in this movie and make the white people less stupid.
Yeah. Hey, Juice.
Can we put a black guy on the shore going, "Hey, I'm going to water."
Yeah. That's all I needed.
I think that's all it is. Yeah.
That's all I needed.
I'm going to water.
Louis Gossett Jr. is like in part three as like basically the mayor.
Part
role.
Three.
So okay. That should make you like part one. Yeah.
Yeah. No, well, he runs SeaWorld. He's owner of SeaWorld.
Oh,
but so he has no
which
line.
Is basically the mayor of something, right?
Well, yeah. The mayor of SeaWorld.
Like, if I needed to really get something done at the top level of the city of Baltimore, I just find their local sea aquarium and figure out who wrote that. It'd be like, you're the mayor.
What I meant was he's like the guy that's like, oh, nothing's wrong, go on in the water. Like the mayor and the first
yeah,
one.
No, I know. Yeah. Yeah. We're just giving you a little bit of
Actually,
no, Ben, I really didn't get it. I was he was the mayor of SeaWorld.
I got it. I just didn't want to break the razzin. I enjoy the razzin too much, so I'm not going to correct anything that stops razzin. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry, Jacob.
Hey, you know, I'm used to it. I'm going to make you watch every Jaws movie.
That's fine.
Don't say it's fine. I want you to pretend to hate it.
Look, I'm just going to give you my honest reaction every single time. If all the right. first movie was terrible, maybe I'll like the second movie. Terrible. Doubtful. Terrible. One of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
The second one has more action.
Hey, okay.
Yeah.
No. He's gone. Ladies and gentlemen, Jacob has left the podcast.
Yeah, thank God.
We just start letting the audience know when that happens because we see it visually.
Yeah,
we'll drop out when the shit talk on Jaws gets a little.
He's having a Faye Dunaway style tantrum right now for his poor family. It's probably
Ashley's huddled in the corner of the cupboards in the kitchen right now, taking the brunt of it.
Covered in powdered soap.
Jesus Christ.
He comes back and we hear it in the background. Jesus Christ.
That's a man, what a movie. Juice, I'm glad you did this. I'm glad you chose Mommy Dearest.
Well, you have my wife to thank.
Well, I'm glad she chose Mommy Dearest.
It's funny. I did a 180 on this because watching that anime, I watched it first.
Ah.
And so I'm watching this anime and it's the fucking, subscribe to the Patreon to find out what I liked about this anime, how I felt about this anime. But it's wall to wall fucking Bummer City. So like I'm watching this going, oh man, tomorrow I have to watch a movie about a terrible mother who tortures her child. And I'm like, man, what a week. What a week this is going to be.
Yeah.
But I eventually was like, okay, so I'm kind of glad that I watched the anime first because I think it made me like this movie more because that anime made me like just in such a weird mood for 2 hours. And then it went up from there. You know what I mean? So like, If we watch something happy for the Patreon, then we watch this movie. I might watch this movie like this movie less because there's no contrast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm almost thankful for it.
would you recommend?
Would you say that's a recommend? Yeah.
You know, yeah. I wouldn't recommend it because it's like, you know what's a good movie? You know what I mean? I wouldn't say like. If somebody's like, hey, what movie should I watch? I'm not going to be like, you know what you should watch is Mommy Dearest. But I would tell somebody to watch this just because the ridiculous nature saves this for me. Like, it's not a terrible movie. And it's like, if you squint and watch it the proper way or the way that makes it enjoyable, I don't know what the right way to watch it is. But the ridiculous nature makes it something that I'm actually glad I saw. So yeah, I would recommend this movie. Dusty, what you think?
No. If everybody forgot about this movie tomorrow, I'd be tickled shitless.
Ben, what would you recommend this movie?
Sure, if you want to, like, I feel like with a glass of wine and you just want to go all into the camp of Faye Dunaway's full throttle performance of Joan Crawford, then sure. Yeah. If you're looking to have a, I don't know, man, whatever. I'm glad we had this discussion, but
yeah, it was a fun, it made a fun podcast.
Yeah. It made a fun podcast.
Jacob, would you recommend this movie?
This movie is exactly the same length as A Silent Voice, the anime that we watched for Patreon this week. And,
Don't forget, full length movies, $85 only on Patreon.
$1,000
But that movie felt way longer than this. This movie really moved. I was thoroughly entertained throughout it.
Surprising. Oh, I mean, it moves through time like fucking a hot knife through butter.
It doesn't even
time warn travel you. Movie
does not. Well, warn
you. Just the editing, the pacing, everything was, you know, it. I get that, you know, what the daughter was saying is how that in itself makes it like not very accurate. But as a movie that it entertained me, the acting is outrageous. I could never say the acting is bad because I thought a lot of this was really exemplary, honestly. The little girl, the Faye Dunaway, my God. Anyway, would I recommend it to anybody? I don't know. Do you like old movies about...
We lost Dusty, by the way.
Do you like old movies about fucking crazy people? Well, you know, check it out. Also, do you want to know... you want to know a little bit about old Hollywood? Yeah, watch that. But I don't know. It stayed off my radar for my whole life. And I don't know. I'm glad I watched it. And like Ben said, I'm glad we had this discussion, but I'll never watch it again. That's definitely not a repeat.
Yeah, I'll never watch it again. Juice.
If you like fashion, you're going to love this movie. If you like set pieces, you're going to love this movie. If you like crazy bitches yelling at their family members for no fucking reason whatsoever, you're going to absolutely love this movie. But watch it with somebody. Don't watch it by yourself. I feel like this is a movie that needs to be discussed afterwards because it's that crazy. So I would recommend it to any group of females or men like myself that like female-oriented movies. Yeah, definitely. It's hilarious.
That's a good take. I'm glad we talked about it. Like, just watching that movie and then going on with my normal life wouldn't have been the same.
That's really true, though.
Yeah, I'm glad that's, you. That's and a good point.
I want to see Faye Dunaway come back in a.
She's 80s time, fuck, by the way.
I know, but she can be like old ass Joan Crawford in a time travel movie where Joan Crawford comes and smells Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina.
Jesus
candle.
Christ!
You really want to hammer this joke to the death? Please watch whatever happened. What happened to Baby Jane? By the way, if you really do like...
Let's just save it. Make it a pick later in the year.
I will, because it's really good.
I do want to revisit that, because I remember... That was a made-for-TV movie, I believe.
No. That was a
remade it. They remade it for TV. I saw the remake. I've never seen the original.
The original's great.
Yeah, the remake was... I for some reason I really liked it as a kid. Why, as like a 9-year-old boy, I would be so wrapped up in this sisterly rivalry of old washed up actresses and all. I really liked the TV movie when it came out.
Yeah. Written a letter to daddy.
I gotta know what happened to Baby Jane. Shit.
Yeah, you gotta know.
Okay.
But it will have the original, it will have the real Joan Crawford in it.
So whose pick is next week?
Dusty.
Oh, he's singing a song.
I am indecisive as usual. I have some options. I'm going to show you that I'm going to wad them up, and then we're just going to pick one because I don't know. I can't decide. I want to torture Juice. But
for what?
Fair.
I mean,
yeah, because he doesn't like Jaws.
Juice fights people on Facebook and comments for fun. So I don't know what I could possibly pick that would fuck his head up.
How do you torture a masochist?
Yeah. How do you do that to somebody?
You can't. I got yelled at by a church lady this week. It's cool.
So I said in our chat the other night that we was going to watch Jaws again. And he's just like, I just go to sleep. It's like, fuck. What am I going to do? So one option I thought of that might irritate him a little bit was, this is backwards, isn't it? Jaws 5.
No, Jaws 5. Right. No, it's Jaws good. Five, we see okay. it. Yeah.
Jaws 5.
Which is not Cruel Jaws. That, no, it's
yeah,
not
Jaws 5. Cruel Jaws. It's Cruel Jaws.
Cruel Jaws.
Is that what it's called? Cruel Jaws?
Yes.
It's yes. Yeah. It's the guy that made Knockkiller.
Nice.
Really?
He's that Italian director that made Troll 2 and Knockkiller, I believe. And because was Knockkiller not called Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, so he just likes making movies and calling them American names and piggybacking off of it. But Cruel Jaws is made up of actual footage from like Jaws 1 or 2 and some other shark movies. That one, the last I looked, it was on Amazon Prime. I also think it's on Tubi. So
I was going to say it's probably on Tubi if it's made.
If that one gets picked, then I think we got some options to watch it. The other one was
Freaked. Alex Winter.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Yep. What's that? I thought about that one. It's on YouTube. That's the only place it's on.
Cruel Jaws is available on Tubi, free on Vudu, and Amazon Prime.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
And they're all short. I'm like, y'all's garbage picks.
I'm very proud of them. Thank you.
The other one was Lone Wolf and Cub, Sword of Vengeance.
Ooh.
That's a lot for Jacob because he would have to read it and he would hate it because I do not believe... I do not believe it is dubbed on HBO Max. But if we land this one, my next like six picks are going to be the movies after these.
Oh, so, shit.
That's a huge caveat.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Lone Wolf and Cub movies. But
is that
Lone
like Wolf BJ and the Bear?
Is classic. Shut up. It's classic. Classic shit. And the last one, I don't have anything wrote on it, but, I was going to run it by you guys. Could I like pass on a movie pick and pick something for us to watch on Patreon? Because I got to say, I'm already hating Patreon for the shit they've been picking for us to watch. I am terrified of the Teen Mom episode that gets picked. And I know Jacob also hates the shit that I would pick. I was wanting to either... If that was a no go, the other option would be the new Eric Andre movie on Netflix.
I'm okay with the Patreon thing.
Okay. So if I'm that okay gets picked, then that's it. So
okay, is everybody else?
I was gonna pick. That? I was gonna pick like I don't know what are they like 12 minutes each? I was gonna pick like a juicy selection of Eric Andre episodes that.
Ooh.
Crack me the fuck up. So,
but then so that's what, would the movie pick just go to the next person or what?
Yeah. However, y'all could figure that out. Oh. I'm not management, so that's on y'all.
Oh shit! I think that would be Jacob.
Yeah. So okay. So here they are. Which one are we? Which one are we gonna get here?
Please, Jaws 5.
I'm thinking Jaws 5 is the easiest.
Please, Jaws 5.
Okay.
Bring us in the air.
He had one marked. You know he's got one.
No, I can't even really see him the way I'm doing this. So
I can't see him
we'll
either.
We'll see what this one is.
Oh, God.
Come drum on, roll.
Drum roll. Come on, we got musicians in here. Real drum rolls. We got a fucking drummer in here.
Freaked. It's freaked. Okay.
Well,
freaked. All right.
That does it.
Those other ones go back in the file.
I'm excited for that. My wife's been trying to get me to watch that movie for a long time, so here we go.
You have an actual copy of it, do you not?
Last I checked, I think we do, yeah.
Randy Quaid's in it. Fuck yeah, I'm in.
Dude, a lot of people are in it. It's a batshit, very 90s, crazy movie. I don't know who all seen it, but yeah.
I like the 90s.
That's my time.
That's the time I grew up.
Goldthwait.
I'm in.
Blossom's brother.
Joey Lawrence. Whoa.
No, the nobody. The nobody. The druggy brother.
Oh, the nobody.
Not Joey Lawrence.
You're like the nobody. The one nobody gives a shit about. The blue guy.
The blue guy. So. Thank you, everybody, for kicking it. Thank you, Travis. Thank you, Gibbons. Thank you, Widget, Jeff, everybody who's kicking it in the chat. We appreciate the shit out of you guys. We love you. we didn't say at the beginning of this episode, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, on Twitch, where we have a lot of fun on Twitch. If you haven't checked it out, you can watch the show live and throw some comments in. I can't get to all the comments all the time because we're talking and shit, but we got a really good group of people who talk in there, so go ahead and do that shit. Join the Discord if you want to join the Discord, and I haven't tweeted a link lately. Just DM us on any of those platforms. Well, probably on Twitter or Instagram. That's the best place.
Send us our audition tapes. We're taking those since we're opening a studio.
Yes, we got to tell. We'll tell that story on the Patreon.
Patreon.
Yeah. So
head over. You got to pay for that.
Yeah.
It's only $5. $5.
$5.
You know what I mean? You know how many extra podcasts you get for $5? You get all that.
One a week.
Well, but you get access to all those Simpsons episodes we did, all the old concession stand episodes with me and Ben and Dusty.
Oh, like, they can go back?
Oh, yeah. They go way back. Yeah. Okay. It's like, cool. Hours of stuff for $5 a month. Give us money.
Yeah, fuckers.
We gotta have money to pay for Black Widow when it comes out. Come on, guys.
Ugh, you're gonna drive them away.
Oh no, dude. Hey, no, the Justice Zack Snyder's Justice League, dude, those superhero episodes, we got more downloads faster than we've ever gotten in less than a week. Like, it's insane.
Yeah,
we're not sucking their dicks,
nerds.
Yeah, you fucking weirdos.
Anyway, yeah, thanks.
Probably watching the black and white version right now.
But yeah, for any of you anime freaks, we're actually doing a silent voice over on Patreon, so check it out.
Yeah, we're gonna have real good.
There's people that swear by this shit. It's crazy. We'll talk about it. Yeah, we're gonna talk about it.
But we love you all. Thank you for kicking it in the chat. And we'll see you next week with Freaked.